I'm going to give you a definition of faith promise giving. Faith promise giving. This is a good, simple definition. Faith promise giving is this: it's relying by faith on God's direction and provision. Note that, on God's direction and provision. That's why I say take a commitment card and pray that God will give you the amount to put on that thing. What you can depend upon God to provide through you, week by week, month by month, however you give. Faith promise giving. That's by faith, upon what God lays upon my heart. By faith on God's direction and provision in the personal, purposeful giving towards ministries beyond ourselves, beyond our local church and our local community. Going to all the world and preach the gospel. And all these flags, they all represent countries all over the world where the gospel needs to be preached. Because Jesus has other sheep. It's not all about just you and I. Amen? We're thankful we're saved. We trust to Christ our Savior. Thankful he bore our sins on that cross. And we're heaven bound. Praise the Lord. Doesn't end there. Doesn't end there. There's others that need to hear. And that's a big part of why we give. And notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "For to their power." Now, I should turn there because I had something, a portion of it in my on my notes, but I want to read the whole thing with you. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3 says, yes, it is the whole thing. "For their to their power I bear record," Paul says, "yea, and beyond their power, beyond their ability, they were willing of themselves." And this is what it takes when it comes to faith promise giving. Now, we'll launch from a text in Romans for a little background. Go to the book of Romans. You can keep your finger there because we will come back to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. But if you would go to Romans, here we'll get Paul closing out chapter 15. The last book is chapter 16. But here he's giving us a little background, a little history that goes behind 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 where we'll be. Romans 15, verses 22 to 33. Follow with me as I read. Romans 15, beginning verse 22. "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you." So this is Paul writing a letter to the believers in Rome. And he's speaking to these Romans how much he loves them, how much he appreciates them, but he's never seen them. He's coming, and he wants to come. He wants to come and see them. He wants to come bad. Verse 23. "But now having no more place in these parts, and having great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain." So, I mean, I've always wanted to, had a great desire to. At this point, I have no more in these parts. I have no more ministry I've got to attend to at this point. I do have one more thing he's going to tell us. But I'm headed to Spain. And on my way to Spain, I'm coming to Rome. And I'm coming to see you believers. He had great enthusiasm about it. Prayed for them. Has loved them from afar. Verse 24, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." It's going to be great. It's going to be epic, this visitation. 25, "But now I go to Jerusalem to minister to the saint, unto the saint, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia." Now this is northern Greek and southern Greek. Greece. And it says, "to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." And we'll get into that because, as you may well know, a great offering was being taken among all the churches, as noted here, in northern Greece, southern Greece, for these in Jerusalem, these believers, these completed Jews who had trusted Christ as their Savior. They were poverty-stricken beyond being persecuted. And so a great offering was undertaken to bring to help them. 27. "It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." Now what Paul is saying here is that, speaking of these in northern and southern Greece, that they have received much because of these Jews. These completed Jews, these saved believers who are now suffering in poverty and whatnot, because by them came the gospel. And you're saved in these churches of northern Greece and southern Greece. because of them. And if they've ministered to you in spiritual things, we have the obligation to minister to them in the carnal needs that they have physically. That's why the offering. That's why they're taking up this big offering. And so in spiritual things, carnal things. 28. When therefore I have performed this, after I have gone to Jerusalem to carry the big offering to them and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I am come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Okay, I'm leaving now, Greece area, and I'm going down to Jerusalem before I head for Spain. And I'm asking for your prayers. Because again, in Judea, there was persecution on the Jews. So not only were there Jews that were in need of this special offering because of their poverty, but because of the persecution. And so Paul says, pray for me, verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, from those non-believers. And the persecution that they're suffering, the believers are suffering, that I am making myself available to, vulnerable. Pray for me for my protection, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. So when I come with this offering, that they'd be humble enough to receive it. You know, sometimes pride gets in the way of help that God has ordained. You know, thank you, we'll be okay. And his children aren't eating. No, take this. Really, we gave it because we felt the need, led of God to give you this. We're fine. Pride is not, he says, pray that they'll receive this offering, you see. So dual prayer. Verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may be with you refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So here we see the background to what's going on. Paul plans to travel to Rome, but first he must go to Jerusalem. He shares his mission to Jerusalem of bringing an offering to the poverty-stricken believers there and asks for their prayers for protection and that the gift may be accepted. And he then brags. He brags on the believers of Macedonia, northern Greece, and of Achaia, southern Greece, for their generosity. Again, that was verse 26. Oh, we go to verse 26. Back in Romans, I'm sorry. Romans 15, remember in 26, it says, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution. It pleased them. They were wanting to give. They were thankful they received the gospel. They were heavy-hearted that these in Jerusalem were suffering. And it pleased them. They wanted to give. They were generous. And so Paul has taken back that thing. Now, let's go back a year prior when Paul addresses the church in Corinth. And this is, Corinth is in Achaia, southern Greece. In his second letter to the Corinthians, and that's why we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 regarding this principle of faith promise giving. Now, 2 Corinthians was written somewhere around AD 56, and Romans, the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans, was written around AD 57, a year later. That's why he's saying Paul looked in hindsight when he spoke of travel going out to Rome. He's looking in hindsight to what was conducted, what happened in Corinth. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, now we'll read another portion of Scripture, and then we're going to retrace several verses to get the principle of what we're talking about. Why we at Grace Baptist believe in faith promises with many, many other churches. This principle of giving. Chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. God, you need to know this, he says. God's hand is upon those churches. How that in a great trial of affliction of the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Listen, these guys, they don't have it. They're not millionaires flowing with money. But out of their deep poverty, God used them, blessed them, directed them, and guided them. And in their obedience, they provided this great offering. Verse 3, for to their power, I bear record, we read this earlier, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Beyond their power, you know what that is? Beyond what they had. beyond what they could do. So it's speaking of in the power of God. Faith promise giving is in the power of God, not in our own power. It's in the direction and provision of Almighty God. And these people, that's what they are operating under. And Paul is bragging on them. Look at that, verse 2. In a great trial of affliction of the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. Now you'd think just the opposite. If they're poverty stricken themselves, they're not going to provide for others. But they've led of God to do so. Verse 4. Praying us, that means they were begging us, with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Paul, we're here, we've raised this money for them. They need it. But we need you to get it over to them. And that's why it says in the fellowship, that they would take it upon us, the fellowship. So Paul and his group, they would take the funds and take it down to the poverty-stricken believers in Judea, in Jerusalem. They were pushy. Paul, you know, we want to do this. We're on board. It was very exciting because they saw beyond themselves. They saw previous sheep, other sheep. What about them? About the other sheep. Who previously had thought about them and provided for them the gospel? Verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped. In other words, we had an anticipation, but they went beyond our hope. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Okay, so now Paul makes very clear what's going on here, that this is the will of God that's happening. In their lives, in these believers in Greece, and for the benefit of those down in Jerusalem. Verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Titus had been sent before to get them to start this offering, to begin this offering. Verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge, you're abounding, you're growing in the Lord and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What grace? What's the context? Giving. You know, the Christian's not complete unless giving is part of his life. By the way, need we be reminded, for God so loved the world that he gave. We don't harp on this all year long about giving, about making commitments. No, we preach the Bible. We preach Christ crucified. We preach the love of God. Because if God really has your heart, he has your pocketbook. We believe that. And I believe he had their pocketbook. He had their hearts first willing of themselves to give. It's a heart condition. It's perspective. It's not one of knowledge. It's one of knowledge and heart. And he wants this grace to abound also in them. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Proving it. Sincerity. The realness. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, Paul says, for this is expedient. This is good. This is healthy for you. Who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago, back when I first sent Titus. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there might be a performance also out of that which you have. That we say in there? Good intentions don't cut it. In so many words. Now, perform the doing of it. Your heart's good. You want to. That's all fine. Now, get with it. Verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, not according that he hath not. First, that willing mind, willing mind. All right, so chapter 9, we're going to read a few verses there, and then I'm going to make four points, quick points, regarding this principle of faith promise giving, which is one of the most exciting things that I came to understand early in my Christianity. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1, for as touching the ministering to the saints. So in regards to being a blessing to them, it is superfluous for me to write to you. I really don't need to. I'm just going over and above because you guys are wonderful. You're generous. He says, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. Now he's talking to Achaia. He's talking to Corinth, which is in Achaia, southern Greece. He said, I boasted to the churches in northern Greece about you here in southern Greece, about your desire to give and your generosity. And was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Okay, now I boasted quite a bit because your heart is just, it's overwhelming. And I knew that it would be an encouragement to them in northern Greece. And so I boasted. Now listen, perform the doing. Get with it now because I've sent some people to remind you, because some of them in northern Greece are coming with me, and I don't get down here after boasting about you, and it went flat. Get with it, see. And yet, verse 3, have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Please, be ready. Verse 4, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confidence. I'm not trying to shame you, he says, but we would be embarrassed. Verse 5, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you. And there were three men that he sent, and Titus and Luke were two, and I believe Apollos was the third, and make up beforehand your bounty. They were sent to encourage you to make sure you're getting with it, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, and here he gets to some principles here. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's a biblical principle. Okay? And some would argue and say, well, gee, you know, I gave a big bunch of money and I didn't get a big bunch of money back. But God isn't limited to money. We are so narrow-minded. Money is a tool, but just a tool. And it can prove the sincerity of our hearts. But in the giving through money and prayerful support, you see, God can bless you more than that, far more, but not just don't look for the money. He may bless you financially. And I know those that preach, there are many churches out there that preach prosperity theology, you know, and they use this verse to plow, launch from, you know, the more you give, the more you'll get. It's not about how much you get. How much you give that matters. Let God take care of the getting. Be dependent upon Him. He never lets you down. By the way, heaven's in your future, to the glory of God. 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, let him give. That speaks of the heart, see? Not grudgingly or of necessity, because I have to. What do you mean you have to? The preacher preached it. I have to. It's not what the preacher is saying. It's what the scriptures are saying. It's what God is saying. Let every man purpose in his own heart, each individual, you and God personally. This faith promising, it's a personal thing. You speak to my heart, Lord. Tell me what you'd have me to give, what you're going to provide through me to give. What an exciting thing to step out by faith. And it says here, for God loves, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth, what kind of a giver? Cheerful. You know, when the basket goes around, it shouldn't be, you know, let it go. You know, okay. There's no glory to God in that. It's like that. Here comes the basket. Just such a wonderful thing to be able to give back to God. There's an acknowledgement that He's everything and He owns everything. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's faithful. He's not going to change. No variableness. He's always faithful. And he's dependable. What a wonderful God. And he wants to teach us things. And any growth in a Christian life comes by faith. You become a Christian, you're saved by faith. And growth in your Christian walk is by faith. He's going to stretch us. Even in recent days, recent weeks, our assistant pastor, music director, choir director, having been called to minister elsewhere, other men have stepped up to lead congregational, to lead the choir, stretching them. And the blessing is they've said, yes, I will. God wants to stretch our faith, not just in finances, in other areas of our Christian walk. It's a wonderful thing to see God working in your life. So, read verse 8 again. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God says, trust me, I'll take care of you. It's for you and I to say, all right, I'm in. I believe. I'm in. So, four different points regarding the scriptures we've read and this principle of faith promise giving. Number one, it's a purposeful offering. There's purpose. Number one, to spread the gospel. Chapter 10, verse 16, look with me, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10, verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. It's purpose in giving to missions. Another purpose is to minister to the saints. Remember we noted in chapter 8, verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Purposeful giving. We give for the purpose of spreading the gospel. We give for the purpose of ministering to the saints. And by the way, as a demonstration of thankfulness, to thank God, that's another purpose. You demonstrate your thankfulness when you give. Look at verse 9 of chapter 8. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, consider the dimensions of this. It says he was rich. I'll say there isn't a man on the planet that was richer or that is richer than Christ in heaven, the Creator, leaving the throne of God to become a man. He became poor. He could have come down here and been the most richest man on the planet. But he came as a humble young man to a stepfather, Joseph, the carpenter. He worked with his hands, carpentry. Rich became poor. These are extremes, right? And it says that, verse 9, he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now we're talking about richness of heaven. You cannot put a price tag on heaven. If you're going to heaven, you're the richest on the planet. I don't care what your bank account says. You are rich in Christ because you were condemned to hell and you've been pardoned. You've been forgiven. You're heaven bound. He became poor that you and I be made rich. Wow, there's a lot in that little verse. But again, this offering is a purposeful offering to spread the gospel, to minister to the saints, to thank God. This is a picture of faith promise giving. It has purpose. Also, it is a personal offering. And I'll cite some verses regarding this. Chapter 8, verse 5. Notice how it said this. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Personal. Before the money came into the picture, they gave themselves. See, I'm yours. Now, in truth, the Bible says we are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're his. He owns us. He purchased us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But they first gave of their own selves. God never forces us to do. He never forces us to give. Yet he gave. And they, of their own volition, their own choice, their own will, gave. It's a personal offering. Look at verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Whose love? Your love. It proves your sincerity. One can talk up a big story. What's reality? Remember when he said, now perform the doing of it, get with it. Good intentions are great, but enough of the intentions. Do it. Personally. And then notice verse 12. For if there first be first a willing mind, a willing mind. You know how he spoke regarding not grudgingly, for God loveth a cheerful giver? Personal, a willing mind. Yes, when I contemplate all that God is and what he did for little me, I personally, what he did for me personally, I am saved. For God so loved the world, in that world, yes, it's blanket coverage, but you got to cash a check, so to speak. A check is a piece of paper, right? People can write on there huge amounts. Your name's on it, huge amounts. It's just the piece of paper until you go to the bank and cash it. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. But not everybody cashes in. For one to cash in on eternal life and the forgiveness of sins, it requires faith in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. That's when the check is cashed, so to speak. And after all he's done, should we not be of a willing mind? A willing mind. Prove the sincerity of your love. First gave of their own selves. And look at chapter 9, verse 7. Notice it says this. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. Every man. That's talking about individuals, isn't it? This man, that man. This woman, that woman. Everyone according as he purposes in his heart. Not according to the hearts of others. This individual, my heart matters, your heart matters. It's a personal offering. It's a purposeful offering. It's a personal offering. It's a provided offering. And this is the exciting part. God, who gives us all things in the first place, will provide whatever he lays on your heart by faith. You say, I don't know, preacher. That's stepping out a little bit too far. That's what faith is, isn't it? It's like that old story. I love that old illustration. The guy who's a tightrope walker, and he has this wheelbarrow, and he can actually go on the wire with the wheelbarrow. But before he goes, the whole crowd is there, and he says, how many believe that I can cross on this wire with the wheelbarrow? Yes, 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 everybody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He says to the guy, get in. It's one thing to say we believe. It's another thing to prove the sincerity of our love. You know what God says to you and I? Get in. Get in. It's personal and it's provided. All they have is from God. And I quoted before James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything I have is from God in the first place. Start there. Start there. God provides the resources. And see, in chapter 8, when it says, verse 3, for to their power, that means their ability, what they had. I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Beyond their power, beyond their ability. Well, if it's not coming from them, where's it coming from? God is making provision for this offering through these yielded willing minds and hearts. That's what I want to do as Grace Baptist. That's what I want to do all the way around the world. Every church, I don't care, churches in these countries should be involved in missions and giving to other sheep beyond them. It's a biblical truth, biblical principle. And we have the exciting opportunity to do the same thing here by faith. beyond their power. God provides and there's always enough. All sufficiency. We see that in verse 8 of 9. Notice it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And remember, he had pointed out the fact that you've grown in this grace and this grace and this grace and in knowledge and whatnot. Grow in this grace too, this grace of giving. And God will provide in all those areas. It's a provided offering. It's a purposeful offering, a personal offering, a provided offering. And lastly, it's a praise offering. You glorify God in your giving. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in the message this morning, but look at 9:13. 9:13 says, whiles by the experience of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. Your giving, their giving, encourage you to give. Your giving, all of it, glorifies God. Look at verse 15. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. That's glory there when you're talking about God's unspeakable gift. What is that gift? None other than Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Unspeakable. You know what that means, unspeakable? It doesn't mean we don't speak about it. It's not a secret. We don't hush, hush. Just the opposite, right? Unspeakable means there are not words to properly describe Jesus Christ and the gift of the Savior for sinful man. Unspeakable gift. Glory to God. So we'll close with these closing thoughts. I know we only got a couple minutes. But if you will, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're at a few verses there. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, being at verse 6, notice with me, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, okay? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You brought nothing into this world, okay? And it is certain we can carry nothing out. Remember the old illustration about you never see a hearse headed to the cemetery pulling a U-Haul. Because there's nothing we're bringing from this world to the next, you see? We brought nothing in, we're bringing nothing out. So points being made, whatever we have is of God in the first place. So we should be content. Notice verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now we, in our affluent prosperity in this country, have been distracted. And yes, affluence can distract and pull us away because we get accustomed and we step a little further into prosperity. Notice verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God. Now he's speaking here, 1 Timothy. Paul is writing to young Timothy, the preacher boy, who become a man of God for him. And he says to him, thou man of God, flee these things. Don't get caught. Don't get snared by prosperity. What it can get you, then you want more. It's not saying that money is bad. Money is a great tool, but a great tool of sorting out the hearts for God. But money's a great tool, but it's not bad. It says, for the love of money, verse 10, is the root of all evil, not money itself. But thou, O man, verse 11, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. In other words, have eternal vision and focus. We're not living for this life. We're living for the next life. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. All right, now I'll close with a couple of verses. You won't turn there, but let me read these verses to you. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, It is required in stewards. A steward is that who takes care of somebody else's property. We are God's, taking care of God's property. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. It is a provided offering. And Matthew 25:21, and I'll close with this verse. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Every man shall stand before God. And I hope that we don't arrive there with just good intentions. We'll have done what he wanted us to do. Father, thanks for the word of God, for the principles taught here. This idea of faith promise, making a promise by faith, leaning on your direction, your guidance, and your provision, that we might have a part in reaching the other sheep that Jesus so loves. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name.